of a handout, you know, because it's me. I don't believe in handouts. I believe in we were. I believe in that, you know, taking care of everybody. But you know, Don always does little handouts in the writing. I'm sorry. I apologize for not keeping up with tradition. I saw an Instagram picture this week, and I think it was on Safety First or one of those kinds of things. And it was the TV mount on the wall, and it was actually on the floor. The TV was flat on the floor. That's why it's a flat screen TV. It was flat on the floor with the mount still attached, and the paper that covers the sheetrock was rolled down, still connected to the mount, the television mount. And the little caption underneath the post said, stud finders are a good thing. You know, and I just share that because I'm sitting kind of underneath it now, like you guys always do on a Sunday, and put your life in Jeffrey's hands and trust that he actually did it correctly. Yeah, either used the stud finder or did it by sound. And we live in this dangerous world. Last week we talked a little bit, as Don's been getting into this more intimate discussion on what we do as believers, how we live as disciples, and what we can do, and how we apply the word in a daily way, and how it relates to having Holy Spirit living in us and living through us. And one of the things that he touched on last week had to do with, have things changed since the times of Jesus? Have things really changed? And we're going to talk a little bit more about that, just to get a little bit more in-depth to what has changed and what hasn't changed. And I'm a huge fan of a little band from Canada, and I learned this saying back when I was about 12 years old, 13 years old, and it came from Jean-Baptiste during sometime between 1808 when he was born and 1890 when he died. He was a French critic and a journalist. He started a paper that would probably be, or a little magazine that would probably be akin to the Charlie Hebdo, kind of a magazine that was designed satirically to shake up the culture in France at that time and wherever else it went. And a lot of his sayings are quoted from time to time. And in this particular band from Canada, the line "plus ça change, plus c'est la même chose" came up. And it means, basically, the more it changes, the more it stays the same. Or the more things change, the more they stay the same. And we've heard that, we've probably said it, you know, or we've heard people say that little phrase, you know, the more things change, you know, the more they've stayed the same, nothing changes, it's always the same. And we can say that even though things have changed technologically. And some of the things that we talked about last week, the royal we, that in general, the human condition has not changed whatsoever. But how has the world changed in some ways, technologically?
Communication.
100%. You know, we went from writing on caves to carving up bones and ivory and stones, you know, to keep a record of the times and the seasons, you know, the days. And then there were drum signals, you know, to indicate what was going on in the other part. Like, this means we're okay, this means the enemy's approaching, this means, you know, whatever. There were different signals. Communication. Then came the spoken word, right? And the stories would be given from place to place, from time to time. And then the cuneiform writing and the clay tablets, and then the hieroglyphics, the different kinds of drawings, the paintings. Then the alphabet came about, the real alphabet. And then we know about, what was it, papyrus, and then animal skins, the vellum, animal skins, and then from there to actual paper invented in China. And all these things led, and then you get the printing press, right? All these things in communication and how it changed over the years. And most every single time that there was communication, you think of the Epic of Gilgamesh, you think up to the Bible. Very often it had to do with religion, with spirituality. The reason why Gutenberg did the printing press was for that Bible, right? I mean, that's the whole thing. And a lot of times our communication is meant to spread the gospel. And it's a double-edged sword, as we see, as it's gone from the books and scrolls and letters and going from communiques being sent on foot, on horseback, on wagons, boats and ships, to, you know, on trains, however it would go, to the wireless technology. The wire technology of what do they call it? Telegraph, right? Morse code. And then up to radio. I mean, there's just so many things. Wired communication, wireless. And now when we think about it, in the book of Daniel, I believe, talking about eschatology, that there's a time now when information, it talks about information going over the face of the earth rapidly. Just, and that's the place we're in. And if you get involved in social media, you can be up on a real high point and going good, and you open up and it's like, oh. Or you could be, you know, at a real low point in your life, and you can open up social media and you can go, oh. You know, it's a double-edged sword. It can be used for good or it can be used for bad. We can spread the gospel or we can spread porn and hatred and bigotry and lies, or we can proclaim the truth. So what other ways, aside from communication, what else has changed?
Transportation,
yeah. The more things change, the more they stay the same. All these things that change, you know, communication, transportation, our housing situation, indoor plumbing, you know, that's a miracle.
Better to tell you.
Yeah, well, it is. It depends.
When it works.
Yeah. When it works, it's fantastic. But even in a place like the United States of America, a very privileged, for the most part, privileged nation, where nearly the entire population at least has access to indoor plumbing, if not actually has it in their home, from some of the lowest levels of poverty, still have indoor plumbing. We live better than most of the kings of Europe ever lived. We live better than any of the kings in ancient world ever lived, as far as the conveniences we have. We have air conditioning and heat. Man, we got indoor plumbing. We got microwaves. Things have changed. What hasn't changed? What are some things that haven't changed?
Dirt.
It depends on where you are. If you're doing nuclear tests, it's changed.
No, it's still dirt. It just has an added isotope.
It has an additive. We've done some additives. Yeah. We want GMO dirt. We want a GMO.
They don't make no more.
Yeah, this dirt is GMO, what do they call it? Organic. Mm-hmm. Organic dirt. No changes. What hasn't changed?
Well, the hearts of man, you still have evil.
That's the big one. That is the big one. You know, James, Jesus' brother, said, what causes fights and quarrels among you? In James chapter 1. What causes quarrels and fights among you? You know, we kill and covet because we cannot have what we want. Then he goes on to talk about the tongue. You know, and how many times are our words misconstrued? The movie that came out a few years ago about Lost in Translation. How many times, you know, do we say something the wrong? I love some of those comedy movies where the guy is trying to learn a foreign language and he says something, you know, that he's trying to say, you know, it's very nice to be here with you. We are honored to be here. And it comes out, your breath smells like fish and your mother is a dog. You know, it's like, whoa. And, you know, of course, he's offending the person that he's talking to. remember a few weeks ago, well, a couple years ago, the whole dress thing on the internet, our perspective, how we see things, and then a few weeks ago, the Yanny and the Laurel thing. It has to do with perspective, where we are in relationship to what's being said. There's this summit that's going on right now in Singapore, or getting ready to happen. There's going to be a number of translators and a number of people working on this communication, because there are people who have interests. There are people who have ideas as to what needs to be done, but the heart is involved. And are those there, are they wanting to kill and covet because they cannot have what it is they want? So we pray for peace. I pray for peace. Whatever it means, whatever happens. And even so, because we are citizens of heaven, we're still cool. We're still good. You know, you give and take away. Every blessing you pour out, I'll turn back to praise. Wherever we are, whatever we're doing. The heart is deceitful above all things. Who can know it? That's what the proverb says, right? Isn't that the proverb? The heart is deceitful, for the psalmist. We can't trust it. So even so, this is one here. Even so, with all of the advances made, there's nothing new under the sun. That's what Solomon said. Remember Solomon, who asked God for wisdom? You know, he was already a wise guy, not like the Italian wise guy. You know, he was a wise man. And when the Lord said, "I'll give you whatever you want," we understand this. He didn't ask for all this stuff. You know, he didn't say, you know, "I want a harem of fine babes. You know, I want the fastest horses so I can win the triple crown." You know, he didn't ask for all those kinds of things. He said one thing. He said, "I want wisdom. Lord, give me wisdom so that I can rule your people, so that I will know how to be a good king." And the Lord gave it to him. And he put it to good use. You know, he didn't just get all this wisdom and keep it inside. He did a lot of studying, a lot of writing. And one of the things he wrote in the book of Ecclesiastes, in Ecclesiastes chapter 1, it says, "That which has been, that which will be. That which has been is that which will be. And that which has been done is that which will be done. So there is nothing new under the sun." What has been will be. What has been done will be done. There's nothing new under the sun. What does that mean? How do you interpret that? Anybody? What does that mean to you?
What you got is what you got.
Okay. Anybody? Everything that's been done has been done. Everything that will be done. There's nothing new under the sun. It's how we deal with one another. It's how we respond to one another. It's our perspective, each one of us, how we see things. We talked last week briefly about the love chapter, you know, and how one of my favorite lines that Paul wrote is, "Love is not easily offended." It is not easily offended. And in this culture in the United States of hyper offended, you know, people are offended about everything. Yet, love wins. We all love. We want to coexist. We want to get along. And everybody has a right. But we're easily offended. If we're disciples, all will know you are my disciples by your offendedness. No. What did he say? "All will know you are my disciples by your love." And we all see, you know, people are offended. How many times have you seen in the past week anything, you know, you've looked at the news or you've opened up online, you've looked somewhere and it's like, "So and so, oh, they're offended. You offended me." You know, if you saw anything going on last week, you know, about certain comedians saying certain things about certain presidents' daughters, and you know, people are offended when they hear those kinds of things or read those kinds of things, you know, or when another comedian who had a show in the 90s and then had a show again and then no longer has a show on a network that starts out with the alphabet because she said some things and people were rightly offended. But there's some places where don't be so easily offended. Galatians 5 says, "Now the deeds of the flesh are evident, which are immorality, impurity, sensuality." This is like a checklist for me, because I'm like, oh, yeah, I got that one. Yeah, I had that one. Yeah, that's me. Jealousy? No. Outbursts of anger? Never me. No. No. Never have I had an outburst of anger. It's been a continuous... I'm like... I have been like the... What's that famous geyser? The Old Faithful? I have been Old Faithful when it comes to outbursts of anger. It's like, okay, what time is it? Yeah, he's okay. Yeah. And I love the people that I work with, because they know exactly where Keith's buttons are. And, you know, it's like, watch this. Or go over to the garage and be with Mike. Be in there, and Mike, you know, will be sitting around talking or whatever, and Mike will do something about, watch this. Hey, Keith, what about... It's like, nope, I'm not going to buy into that today. Nope, 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 nope. Well, what about... Nope, 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 nope. Well, what... Okay, let me tell you something. And it's no longer an outburst today, I don't think. I try not to do that. But
see, honey, it's not just me.
Yeah, that'll be a ride to Charlotte, please. And that costs you a ride to Charlotte.
Keep the windows down so we don't overpressurize a little bit.
Oh, yeah. Now, the deeds of the flesh are evident. That means they're apparent. That means they're out there in the open. And even so, that which is done in secret will be shouted from the rooftops. Some men's sins go before them, some follow behind. What does that mean? It means some of us, we just live life and it's like, it's all out there. Everybody else looks like goody two-shoes, but guess what? When they die and we're going through your stuff. Some men's sins follow behind. I'm just saying, you know, I'm just saying what it is. Yeah. Oh, I can't believe Grandma. Immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger, disputes, dissensions, factions, envying, drunkenness, carousing, and things like these. So even if you didn't get any of the other ones, he includes us right there. Things like these. Yeah, well, I'm not... Oh, things like those. Okay. Well, I'm not... Things... Okay. Yeah, things like those. Of which I forewarn you, just as I have forewarned you, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Those who practice such things. That doesn't mean those of us who may occasionally fall into something... We have that occasional outburst of anger, or we are constantly, you know, we're not always jealous, and we check ourselves. You know, when somebody that we know gets the new car or the promotion, or, you know, how come you're always blessing them? How come they always get the good stuff, but I don't get anything? You know, that coveting. If it's just that brief point where we, because we're humans... But it's those that practice it. We don't want to practice those things. We want to do what Jesus said, where he said, take up your cross, follow me. And then elsewhere, Paul talks about we have to take up our cross, not one time, but daily. It's a daily dying to self. It's a daily thing. So we don't want to fall into a place of practicing these things. That's what Paul's telling the Galatians. Obviously, there was a problem going on there. He wouldn't have said it if there wasn't something to address. And it wouldn't be included amongst these 66 books that we call the Holy Bible unless the Lord wanted us to address it. But see, Paul goes on in Galatians 5:22. And we talked a little bit over the last couple of weeks of how we can demonstrate some of these things. you know, amongst the homeless in our community, those in poverty. How do we address that? The racial division or strife in this area, in Hampton Roads, specifically on the peninsula. How do we address those things? And there's one more that I'm forgetting. Because he had three
fourth
things.
Grade school.
Yeah.
And a school.
You know, and just, I mean, education in this area in general, you know, because those of you who have had kids in the schools, and, you know, Tammy and I haven't been involved in youth ministry, and working with a lot of kids that come out of school, you know, where we are right now, a lot of them, they're on break or they get out of high school, and we see how they are. There's a lot of issues that go on in our schools. But the fruit of the Spirit, and remember that, the fruit, it's at the same time, it's plural and singular, because there's a whole list of things here, but it's the fruit of the Spirit. It's like you open it up and all of the different wedges are inside. You know, it's not just you open up like peeling back an orange and this is just love. No, it's all of them at once. This flavor that the Lord has for us. He says the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. This is where we need to have the checklist. You know, yeah, I'm trying, I'm doing my best to love. And again, love is this, where our heart is just in this upheaval place at times, because it's the seat of our emotion. And at one point we can be sharing in someone's joy, and at another point sharing in someone's sorrow. And again, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy. And we can have joy unspeakable and full of glory, is what Paul said. And that means in the midst of sadness and sorrow, we can have this inexplicable joy. We can still have joy, even though we're, you know what? And I'm the guy at funerals, I'm the guy that goes around and makes all the jokes. I put the fun in funeral. I really, when my, you know, I mean, it's how I deal with things. It's how I deal with death. You know, it's like, look at that guy laying there. Look at that nose. Look, get down here. You can see his nose coming out of the casket. Look at that. He looks like one of those cars going around, like the old Indy cars with the little scoop on top. You know? I mean, I see things. I notice things. You know? Joy. Peace. We can have peace. That peace that passes all understanding. You know, how can you be at peace with that? Like David has shared here, you know, about diagnosed with cancer. He shared that story a few times, you know, and just being at peace. You know, I don't know. I don't know why I'm okay. It's going to go in and be taken care of. And either I come out and I'm healed, or I go home. I'm just at peace. We can have this peace that passes all understanding. We don't have to be running around and being all frantic and scared and that. Patience. We'll skip over that one because I got to hurry up and get through this. You know, patience. I want it now. You know, there's a new film coming out about Freddie Mercury and Queen called Bohemian Rhapsody, and Queen had a song that, and I always play it. It's on my alarm for my lunchtime, and it says, "I want it all, I want it all, I want it all, and I want it now." You know, it's a great song. I love that song. I love that song. You know, I want it all, and I want it now. And, you know, that's an anti-patience kind of song. You know, we have to be patient. Just take your time. That immediate gratification, sometimes it's not worth it. You know, it's like, okay, do you want the pizza that's made by hand and put in the oven and comes out, or do you want that, you know, the cheapest frozen, you know, the kind that you would get in Paris on a late night? Well, you just got out of the Eiffel Tower. We were in Paris with Don and a group of us that had gone to help take care of the kids during one of their conferences. And our last night there, we'd gone up to the Eiffel Tower. And Keith was cracking a whole lot of jokes while we were there, and I won't tell you how and why, but we're cracking jokes. And we all wanted something to eat afterwards. So we went down, and it was kind of like closing time. But there was this little cafe, and they're like, okay, yeah, we'll stay open. And so we had a Kir and, you know, some champagne or something, and then we ordered something to eat. And I look at the menu, and it's like, oh, they had some kind of pizza. I'm like, all right, I'll go for a pizza. You know, I'm kind of the Italian kid. I'll eat it. And I kid you not, out came this little frozen box, the cheap stuff where you go buy the bachelor kind of pizza where it's like 10 in a stack. You know what I'm talking about. You know, with the little square chunks of pepperoni, the stuff that you pop in the microwave, and you just eat the box because the crust is the same. And I was like, okay. You know, and I ate it, of course, because look at me. But that was just kind of humorous to me. I don't know why I talked about that. But just being patient, being kind. You know, what kind? Exhibiting kindness. You know, I found some photographs that I meant to send out, you know, to respond to everybody with the email or post it to the church Facebook page, which I have been doing after I got kicked off of Facebook for a while for things that will remain unnamed. But I was in Facebook timeout. I can't imagine why. Kindness. I found a bunch of the photographs about the zip, when I talked about the Ziploc bag, you know, like the gallon size Ziploc baggie to put together a little toiletry kit, you know, one for ladies, one for men. You know, it's got a couple of like the granola bars and, you know, piece of candy and, you know, some mints and, you know, the toothbrush, all that kind of stuff. And then you could put one together for like kids that, you know, a couple toys and that kind of stuff in there for little kids. And I've seen where other people, you know, different people within the church where they just keep these things, you know, they carry like 10 of them or something in the car with them, and they'll make a box on the weekend and then just go out. They go to the dollar store or go to Big Lots or something like that and just get a bunch of stuff and just put it together for them. And it might be a good thing to do and have, you know, as we're in hurricane season. Mm-hmm. Just have a few things ready for some of our neighbors who may go through
it. Generators.
Go through a situation, yeah. Yeah, sure. I'll build them. We'll build them. We'll just make some generators. Because I need a bicycle. We need to watch all Gilligan's Islands. Yeah. And see how the professor put together. We need some vines and some. But kindness, goodness, faithfulness. Faithfulness is a hard thing. Tam and I were really blessed this past September when we were at the worship leaders retreat. And in the small group I was in, talking with the guys, and I was the second oldest in the group. And so, you know, we talked about who we were and what churches we came from and what we do. And I told them how long Tammy and I had been involved in the Peninsula Vineyard. Vineyard Christian Fellowship, and he was one of the guys, one of the pastors that was there was just amazed, and he spoke over me this word about faithfulness, just saying, you know, so many people he sees, you know, especially in music ministry, where they come and go, they don't stick around because there's a rift between the pastor and the worship team, and they take their boxes and their toys and they leave. And this faithfulness is something that is not prevalent in our culture today. People aren't always faithful. you know, they bandwagon. Or as soon as somebody slips up, you know, oh, boycott, cancel. You know, we're not faithful to people. We don't give them room to be human beings. And marriages, relationships of all sorts. People just don't remain faithful. And that's part of the fruit of the Spirit, is being faithful. Being faithful to your friends. You know, the enemy, the kisses of an enemy are profuse, but faithful are the wounds of a friend. Faithful. A friend's going to tell you like it is. You know, and love is not easily offended. So, gentleness, self-control. Self-control. It's not the devil made me do it. It's us controlling ourselves. Holy Spirit gives us everything we need. Against such things there is no law. Now those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh. Take up our cross, follow him. Pick it up every day. It's a daily death. We've crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Not the passions and desires that God intends for us to have. Remember, when he knit us together in our mother's womb, he had a plan and a purpose. But we're born into sin and we're born into lawlessness. And we are creatures of our five senses. We're creatures of our emotion. But we follow Jesus. And in his anger, he did not sin. He experienced all of the different emotions that we have. He was tempted in every way that we are. When you break it down into the in different categories, with material goods all the way to power and wealth and notoriety, fame, being known. But when we're crucified and that flesh is crucified, all of those passions and desires, the lust, the anger, the envy, the jealousy, the lack of self-control, those passions, those desires are crucified. Then out of that, this other is birthed. This other, this fruit of the Spirit can come. It's inoculating. Having been involved in gardening, it's inoculating a plant. It's giving it a systemic chemical that protects the plant from insects and disease. We have been infected with the Holy Spirit. We have been infected with Jesus Christ. And that's a good thing. He's inoculated us. He should flow through us. We've been grafted in. And as that branch is grafted in to the vine, we draw everything. And it takes out all of the impurities. And the ones that are still in that make its way out, those are pruned off. And then from there, more growth comes. And then anything that's impure is cut, and more grows. If we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. And this is a huge one. Let us not become boastful. And we don't have that here. I have, you know, and I boast about that all the time. I really do. Let us not become boastful. And let's not challenge one another. And that's in a negative context, challenge one another. You know, because there's things where we spur one another on to good works. It's like, it's a challenge, it's a good thing. It's not like, you know, crossing the foot across the floor and saying, come on, I challenge you. You know, we're taking off the gloves and slapping them and saying, come on, we should have a duel. Hello, my name is Enigo Montoya. Let us not become boastful, challenging one another or envying one another. So, I know it's a lot less involvement than Don does. He kind of gets more from the peanut gallery. And that's something takes me some time to try to learn all of that stuff. But any comments, questions, testimonies, prayer requests, snide remarks, anything like that you got? Anything at all? Anybody? Please?
I can do a quick praise.
All right.
This is kind of cool. It's just where God is. You know, God's very, very awesome. So I have been praying for the last few months about the hours and different things about work. And I think about a month ago, I was meeting with Kelly. You guys remember Kelly. And I was just sharing a tidbit of my heart with her. And she said, well, she said, I want you to know that Summit Christian Academy is a full-time teacher. And I said, well, that's great. I said, but, you know, I've got my job. I just need to pray about it and kind of deal with it. So she brought it up again a second time, maybe a week or so later. We were meeting again, and she was sharing with me about this. And it was on a Monday night, and I said to her, I said, Kelly, I can't go anywheres until my boss leaves. I said, I love my boss. This is not where, you know, I can't do that. I said, I have a great boss. So that Friday I went to work, and my boss and I were talking, and she said, I don't want anyone here to know. She said, but I know you and I have talked before, and I want you to know I'm looking for another job and you're released to go. And those were the words that she used, you're released to go. Now, she had no clue. I had no clue. I was not looking for a job, honestly. I was just kind of, and those are the words she used. So that I immediately text Sue and said, is it true that Summit's looking? She said, yeah. So long story short, I'll be going to Summit Christian Academy in August. Mm-hmm. But the point is of God hearing our prayers. I mean, I never once said to God, I need a new job. My heart was, God, I need hours that are going to fit so my husband and I have more time together, so I have weekends, you know, with him, and I hate missing church, and, you know, just kind of pouring your heart out to God. And I feel like, you know, as we get more intimate with him, he hears and he cares. And he knows what we need before we even need it. So it just gives him great glory, because, you know, he acted before I did, let's say that. So, it's awesome.
Sometimes I get the impression like he's just saying, okay, I was just waiting for you.
Yeah.
I was just waiting for you. You know, I got this. I'm just waiting for you to come.
And I need that knock over the head.
Talk to me.
The boss knocked over the head thing. I call that a God thing. Because, you know, I'm one of those, okay, God, I need to know. It's like, you dummy, here it is. Yeah.
Tammy can relate, mm-hmm. I think.
Yeah.
A little
yeah.
bit.
That's what happened when I left my job and went to Lakeness and Aging. I have been kind of, yeah, I need a new job, I need something, this isn't working well. And, but it was like, I can't leave. It's Karen, my boss, was like, no, you can't go. And she came one day and said, you're looking for a job. I said, well, not really, but if something came along, I'd take it. And she said, go. And within just a few months, I had a text from somebody at PAA that said, hey, you need to apply for this job, and I have a job. So it's amazing how the Lord just kind of does those things. He's like, I need that push. I need that. It's okay.
Yeah. Why can't my boss have me? Why can't I get attached? Why can't I be independently wealthy?
I'd like to let you know this is all stable right now. So.
That's awesome.
I'm watching that.
Yeah.
Good. All the time.
Still been praying and praying for that, just that change in our system where I don't want to call it a loophole, but that thing where it's like, oh, you can't come in until, it's like, well, come on, there's this history. Let's nip it right here. So just praying. I'm telling you, praying and writing, tweeting, whatever I can.
Yeah. So the biggest problem she has right now is she's going to breed financial distress. So that's a constant. Constant stress. And stress is the exact trigger for that type of illness. So you want to tick it off and start it. You don't want to stress the person.
Yeah, it just feeds.
Feeds, yeah.
All right. Well, Father, we thank you for the time that we've had here together today. And can we be those who who become more more aware and more like you in crucifying our flesh and turning away from those things. Could we learn to cultivate the fruit of Holy Spirit? It comes in the doing. We can't just sit around and wait for it to happen. It comes in the doing, in the reaching out, and doing. So show us more how that works. The opportunities to do. Even as Angie goes and shares with the ladies in the jail, in the prison, even just taking time to talk with them and share words to encourage. It's not too late. It's not too late for Zena. So we lift her up to you, Lord. Would you show us how to work in this area with regard to poverty? Spiritually, how to address the needs within our own community here? Give us opportunity to stand in the gap. As your word declares that there's no more male or female or Jew or Greek. There is no more black and white. There's no more race or nationality in you. We are all one in Christ. So would you give us that kind of a mentality in Christ's love and to just burst through all this stuff? And Lord, we pray for our kids in this area, in the schools. Pray for our teachers, for Hannah and those other teachers that we know. We thank you for this opportunity for Janice, for you opening up the door for her. We thank you for our guest this morning. Just again, pray that you would bless Grant and what he experiences in this area. Give him that wisdom, give him that peace, give him strength. And let him have a good time while he's here in this area. We thank you again for Jeff for opening up his home that we would have a place to meet. We thank you, Lord. We give you praise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. God bless you all.